All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. The Pacers up in Indianapolis with Victor Oladipo leading the way on his way to the All-Star game, doing very, very nicely. Did not do anything the trading deadline. I know Terry here follows the Pacers very closely, so we'll ask him about what he thinks about that and the news that the Pacers team went to the general manager, Kevin Pritchard, and asked him not to break up the team, keep them together at the trading deadline.
How'd you know?
Very interesting. I've got a birdie that tells me these things. The Colts have a coach, a head coach, a few other coaches, but in particular a head coach. He has signed. It's Frank Reich. We'll probably try to talk a little bit more about that, get Terry's opinion on that. Also, but first, Indiana tips off tonight at 8:30 at Assembly Hall. Illinois is in town. I know this for a fact. I saw him over at the Hilton Garden Inn earlier today, and they are struggling this year, but playing hard. That's what, if you watch this team, they are in last in the Big Ten and 2-11 in the conference. 12-14 overall is really not that far off of 14-12 for the Hoosiers. But they are playing hard pretty much every night. Now, they got their butt kicked the other night by Rutgers on their home floor. So they are up and down, you know, as far as their results are concerned. But we've seen that with a few different teams. Rutgers played Purdue very, very close at home and then watched as the Hoosiers walked in the door and blew their doors off on their home floor, too. So everybody's kind of up and down. And in the second half at Champaign, Illinois took it to the Hoosiers and erased a small deficit to win late in that game over there. So, Terry, tonight the Hoosiers have the home floor. The Hoosiers have been playing very well the last couple games. And really, you can go back a little further than that because of that stretch that included Michigan State on the road at Ohio State and Purdue. They played well in the majority of that stretch. You know, give you about 5 minutes at Ohio State and really the ability to get their offense really going. But they've really been playing pretty well. We talked on Monday. To me, seeing the consistency is maybe the best thing right now, because for the last several years, you can say what you want about offense and turnovers. You can say what you want about defense and bad defense and all the different things. But part of what drove people crazy is just the roller coaster ride of ups and downs. And maybe just, you know, not having whiplash anymore is a good thing for IU fans to see out of this team.
No, definitely. And we even talked earlier in the year, both you and I and Glass and I, that I could see the difference in the defense immediately. Mm-hmm. Within the first three or four games, of just how it maneuvered as a hand with fingers out, moving around, covering for each other, sometimes poorly, sometimes very good. But now, consistency on the defensive end anyway. More consistency with Devontae Green has proven to be good. So, yeah, I mean, that's, as you're a sports fan, whether it's your team, a referees, call them consistently, everybody craves that. I always crave the Hoosiers to go out and beat them by 20, so I'm not nervous and worry about it while I'm watching it. But,
right.
But the consistent effort every night in all phases, I think, is one thing Hoosier fans would like to see. I know I do like to see it. Turnovers, for the most part, have been consistently down this year. Yeah, they've had a few games at Illinois in particular a few weeks ago, 18 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest inconsistency that this team shows to me right now is, I think on number one is free throw shooting.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have some games where they're hitting some threes or hitting some jump shots, but this free throw thing is, not only is it unacceptable, but it's unfathomable that some guys that are really have proven over their careers while they've been here to been really pretty good free throw shooters, and they're not this year.
Well, they're consistently bad at the free throw line
are.
As a team. I mean, I guess that's one other thing you
not
can look
that,
at.
What we're looking for.
No, exactly. The model of consistency this year has been Juwan Morgan. He has been a horse for this team. You know, he may not end up making first team Big Ten, but you got every argument that he should with his play this year. He has been absolutely fantastic for this team, and he's had to take on a much more significant role. I think every everybody thought he'd be a big-time player for this team at some point, maybe not quite this big. But then you've got that hole in the middle with Daron Davis, who's been on the bench for a long time now. But Juwan Morgan, just every single night, he is solid every single night out. He takes good shots. You know, you look at his game, I don't, you know the game better than I do. I don't see a lot of holes other than maybe you want to talk about three-point shooting inconsistency, but really that's not what he's out there for. He's out there for his play in the post, and you know, hands, footwork, you name it, patience, ability to pass the ball, the guy's got it all.
Yeah, he can do everything, and then every now and again he'll step out and shoot a three, and he's been hitting him with more regularity lately because, well, number one, they're letting him.
Yeah.
And if you are any type of a decent shooter and you're wide open, you'll hit those.
He can hit them.
Yeah, he can hit them, but I know my thoughts are he knows that's not what this team needs him to do.
Right.
To keep somebody honest, great. But the biggest thing is that if he steps out and hits one, and then the next time he steps out, somebody wants to press him, he can put the ball on the floor and go right around him too. So credit Juwan for – he was ready coming into the season.
Yeah.
And probably healthy completely for the first time, and then still had an ankle injury that, thank gosh, didn't end up kicking him out of several games, a very, very low ankle sprain, one of the ones that, you know, obviously we're on radio, I can't show you.
Yes.
I can show you, but won't care for
go
it.
Ahead.
But worked out to be good for him and good for the Hoosiers, and, you know, especially if you talk about just saying, hey, I'm stepping up, you know, he loses his front court mate and the biggest player we have, and this guy's just been unbelievable. And there's been games that I shudder to think what would have happened had we not had him.
No question. He's been counted on every night. Last time around against Illinois, who's the opponent tonight, he shot 12 of 14 from the floor, scored 28 points, had 9 rebounds. Looking at tonight, it's at home. Do you expect this game against Illinois to go a similar way? Are you looking at Illinois the same way that we saw them last time? Or, you know, do you attack them a little bit different this time around? They're kind of a helter-skelter kind of team. They want to force you into speeding up and getting out of your game. And you know, the Hoosiers have taken care of the ball pretty well most of the season, but that was the one outlier, as you mentioned, with the 18 turnovers.
Yeah, what I think Archie would like to see us do is obviously just take care of the ball. If they want to press and try to force us into a helter-skelter, take control breaks when they're pressing like that. Get the ball in the middle of the floor, turn and attack it. I think Archie would let them press if we're shooting layup after layup all game long, because we will get some stops, and that will end up, you know, allowing us to get a win. But I think the main thing is now tonight, take care of the ball. Hit some free throws. We still have postseason chances, more likely NIT than anything.
Yes.
But we still have some. Illinois has nothing. They lost about 6 games in a row before we allowed them to beat us. It was 8, I'm sorry. They were 0-8 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And we allowed them to beat us by 2 in a game that we led it to half and pretty much outplayed them other than the last 5 or 6 minutes. Then they won another one. They beat Rutgers right after us. I mean, annihilated them at home.
Yeah. I mean, they were up 40 in that game.
And since then, they've lost 3 straight.
Including at home to Rutgers,
Penn State was the one.
That's who it was, Penn State.
Yeah, they went to Ohio State and only lost by 8, played a really good game over there, lost by 9 at home to Wisconsin, and then Penn State just drubbed them the other night. So they're going nowhere fast. They've had some injuries, too. Reading comments from their coach today in the paper talking about what a great shooting gym Assembly Hall is. So he's trying to talk them into being confident in shooting. Dave, they beat us once. They can beat us again. I hope the students show up and are loud. It's a later game, which means they'll have more lubrication time. And that's always makes Assembly Hall louder on that side of the court.
It does, but when you see a 2-11 opponent coming into town, that doesn't usually fill the rafters right away. Just to put it in perspective, Indiana has given up 18 turnovers in 4 games this year. 2 of those were Indiana State and Fort Wayne.
Well, we know what happened there.
One of those was on the road at Seton Hall, and the other one was at Illinois. They have not given up more than 13 turnovers in the Big Ten play this year, except for that trip to Illinois. So, you know, a significant difference. That's got to be your key. I mean, that's got to be your key to start the game tonight, is taking care of the ball better, attacking that defense better, taking advantage of if they're going to be helter-skelter about it. Obviously not throwing it away. Interesting, last time this game came around, before the game, Glass had mentioned on the show that, you know what, we expect maybe we'll have a couple extra turnovers because of the way they play. Do you look at it that way, or do you look at it like, no, you got to be better tonight. You've got to cut that in half or nearly in half or something, you know, against a team like this on your home floor?
A disciplined veteran.
Having seen them all already.
Yeah, no. Now, and there, that's the key point. You were at their place. The Orange Crush was loud. It was Indiana. They hadn't won a game. They hate us. And we let all the above factors get to them a little bit. And, I think A, being at home, yes. I think we'll play a lot more controlled. I guess you can say that, but if you have a veteran team that knows what to do and how to handle itself, you shouldn't go into any game saying, hey, you know, I know we're averaging exactly 10 turnovers a game. That might be 13 or 14 tonight because these guys are going to press us and just go hog wild. Bull. Handle the ball. Pass fake. Ball fake. Don't jump in the air and try to pass it. Just be more controlled, but attack. The thing is, a team that presses you, you attack them and you go to the basket. Just don't pick up charging fouls and be controlled.
Yeah.
Maybe pick them up a little more full court. Pressing teams don't like to be pressed.
Go put 90 on them and put them out of their misery.
I like
earlier.
It. I like it.
We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes for you. We've got high school basketball returning Friday night. Columbus North comes to town to face the North Cougars. 7:30 is tip-off for that. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk on Friday night. On Saturday, we've got a pair of college basketball games. Syracuse is at Miami. That's a noon tip, so 11:45 is when we will pick up pregame. And then we'll lead you right into Alabama at Kentucky. That is all on Saturday. We'll be back with you, Glass and I will, on Monday night, 6 o'clock, for In the Zone. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Talking IU basketball. They tip at 8:30 tonight at Assembly Hall, just about 2 hours from now, against Illinois, who is 2-11 right now in the Big Ten. They do play hard. Like everyone else, sometimes they slip up like they did at home against Penn State. But last time they played the Hoosiers, they played very hard and forced the Hoosiers into 18 turnovers. Again, as we mentioned earlier, it's one of only 4 games they've had 18 or more turnovers. One of those on the road at Seton Hall. Also, the other two home games, and you'll remember them because they were ugly, Indiana State and Fort Wayne. So the Hoosiers hopefully do that. They've only had that's the only game, in fact, the Illinois game, that they've had more than 13 turnovers in a Big Ten game. So, again, start there. I mean, you've got to start there on the offensive end. Devontae Green played in this game at Illinois, and he played reasonably well. I mean, he got 30-some minutes or 28 minutes in that particular game, played well in that game, but he also made a crucial turnover at the very end of the game with a bad pass. Not a bad decision necessarily, but a bad pass to the shins of Juwan Morgan.
A tough pass, let's put it that way.
Against a team like Illinois, and Devontae was 1 of 5 that night. He wasn't shooting the ball particularly well. He did get to the line, 6 of 9 from the line, only 2 turnovers. Do you worry about a guy like Devontae because of his style of play? Now, I know his play recently has been better, and it's been better because he's not turning the ball over mostly, and partially because he's got a scoring threat. Now, even that hasn't been exactly consistent in the last 4 games, because he's got a game of 20 and a game of 19, and then the other two are in single digits. But he hasn't been turning it over, so it has been at least solid quality play. He's been getting other people involved with assists. But do you worry about him more so in a game like this where they're trying to speed you up, or do you love the fact that a guy like that has the chutzpah, if you will, to attack the press the way he's going to see it tonight?
Yeah, I'd answer both yes.
It worries me. Both until you see it?
He worries me, and yet in the same way, I doubt that it bothers him. No, that is. You answer it both ways. Yeah, because he's not done it consistently enough yet. Mm-hmm. 5 assists and 2 turnovers in that Illinois game before. The one thing about that, the low pass he threw into Juwan, had he had his head up looking the whole floor, mm-hmm. Robert Johnson was open for 3 on the left wing.
Right.
Not that he would have hit it, but rather than throwing the ball off Juwan's shins, I'd take my chances with Robert when no one's around him, knocking down a 3, and we win the game in Illinois and walk out of there.
And to be fair, I mean, Juwan had a guy on his hip. So, I mean, he had the ability to make a move with the ball if he got it.
It's just, it was a risky pass. It was, I call it the type of pass that Archie probably says, don't try that because it's not the simplest play. Mm-hmm. But did he almost pull it off? Yeah. If that ball bounces a foot further out than where it did,
right,
Juwan scoops it like a shortstop, drop step with his right to his left shoulder or to his right shoulder with his right foot and lays it in.
And we
go in overtime or gets
fouled.
So that's just one of those plays, but it's something that he has confidence in himself to make. It just the more minutes he gets, he didn't have a lot of minutes last year.
Right.
But he, more this year, and then he's been set down for a few to watch, and he's getting better, and that's what I like. He is getting better, and he's not scared of it. He's not worried, but I need a bigger sample size. That's the best way to put it.
To be fair to Devontae on that play, don't you think Archie had to go in or come out of that timeout saying, we got to get the ball into Juwan Morgan? I mean, he was 12 of 14 from the field. He had 28 points. He was tearing. I mean, he's tearing to shreds. He's got to – I mean, they got to come out of that thing saying we need a bucket. We need a bucket.
Wasn't Illinois thinking the same thing?
Sure, but, again, you've got Juwan – I mean, he had a lane to Juwan Morgan. This was not a tight pass or a tight passing lane. Now, he made it complicated by where he bounced the ball. Hoosier fans know the fundamentals of a bounce pass well enough to know it, like you said. If it's a half foot or a foot in front of him, in front of where it hit,
plays made.
It's right in his hands, and the guy probably scores.
Yeah. I mean, when a guy's 12 for 14 and they have not been able pretty much to stop him most of the game, except when he got himself to the free throw line where he was 3 for 8, that's probably the best play. And the thing is, a heady point guard comes down, knows that's a – I can't make that pass, or it's going to be hard for me to make that pass, and is anyone else open? And he chose to try.
But that's
I'm not faulting him for it
no,
at all.
No, but here, this always, I don't know, this always confuses me a little bit. It's the, do you rein in the Colt and break him, or do you build up his confidence and work on the decision-making a little bit? Because Devontae made a bit of a crazy pass on a fast break where Juwan Morgan, he's got to clear the entire defense the other day against Rutgers, you know, for a go route, a bomb, and Juwan Morgan catches it in stride and lays it up without having to dribble it once. But that's a foot away from being a 90-foot turnover. But that's, I mean, that's Devontae Green. I mean, you know, Josh Newkirk probably doesn't throw that ball. Now, you know, we don't, obviously the bucket, it makes it all okay. Everything's okay if it goes in the bucket.
Exactly.
But see, that's where I'm confused about a guy like Devontae, because again, I apply some of this over to Josh Newkirk. Now, I think Devontae Green's upside, especially scoring, is higher, but no question, than Josh Newkirk. But both of them seem to need the ability to feel freedom out there to be their best. They have to be confident, but they need the ability to have that freedom for them to be at their best. Because Devontae's still throwing one-armed, right hand overhead bounce passes and stuff like that. And the fast break, he never had control of the ball once until he slapped the ball down to Robert Johnson in perfect stride for a layup. So it's just crazy enough to don't do that. Okay, great play. Yeah. But it seems like you're going to get that, and that's what you're going to have with Devontae, and you got to live with it.
Remember Troy Williams? Okay.
Troy put up a few more points, more frequently.
He's a different body type, a lot better athlete, not near as good a shooter, and you let it happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. What you hope is the dumb plays, the risky plays that don't work out are far fewer than the heady passes or the simple play. And no, you don't rein him in. The only way you rein him in is you get three dumb plays in a row, three risky passes that don't work. It doesn't matter. He'll be sitting next to Archie anyway.
Well, that was my next question.
Here's
four games, 30 minutes a game, playing very well, not turning the ball over. He's got five turnovers in four games.
Very good.
He's got 19 assists in four games. He's got, let's do this math real quick. That's 56 points in four games.
Fine.
I mean, he's been playing great in these four games.
How many turnovers?
Well, I just said five turnovers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, that's just it. I mean, holding across the board, you know, he can rebound a little bit better, but criminy, what do you want?
At this point, let him go then. He's playing well.
That's my question is, we hear this a lot. Oh, he's entering his sophomore year, he's entering his junior year, his senior year. You know, everybody's, this is their year. This is when they figure it out. This is when they become, you know, when they've grown into this X or Y or whatever the heck that is. Is Devontae Green figured something out that turns him into a regular every night? Or is this just part of the upswing, and it's just a little bit longer upswing than we've seen with him?
It's probably the latter, because he had it figured out at the start of the year. Archie was praising him and the ball.
He was in the lineup.
He was in the starting lineup most of the year, the early part of the year.
Well, the first winner of that gold jersey thing?
Yeah. So he's been there, had it figured out, and maybe we went into a little losing streak, had a few problems, and Archie chose to take him out of the lineup and let him do a little bit more watching, and now he's back on an uptick. So hopefully, you know, all you can do as a coach is, okay, now he's gotten it again. Now he looks like the player early in the year, actually a little better, because he appears to have gotten all of his confidence back and he's making the right plays. And, you know, there's no point guard in history that goes every game without a turnover. So, you know, he's doing 5-2, you know, 8 assists to 3 turnovers. That's a real good margin that you can accept. So right now I'm going to say he has the light bulb is bright right now. It's on, it's bright, and he's taken advantage of it. And with his growth, this team is going to be scary the rest of the year. You know, the four games counting tonight, and then the Big Ten tournament, which we never do well in.
Right.
Well, he's key. He's key for this team right now. It's his play that's gotten them to where they are right now.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry here with you in the zone. We're talking IU basketball. They tip off at 8:30 at Assembly Hall. This one here in Bloomington against Illinois. Not whatever the hell they call that thing over there in Champaign, that ugly.
It's a State Farm Center
alien.
Now. They've taken the Assembly Hall thing. Off of it.
Yeah,
so.
Good. So tonight and going forward, there's been changes to the starting lineup, and with it, a lot of minutes also. Devontae Green, one of those changes, taken over for Josh Newkirk, but also for Al Durham. Justin Smith out of the starting lineup. Freddie McSwain getting a lot more minutes and playing very well. I mean, showing, you know, it was great against Michigan State. It was fantastic. Those two guys, freshmen, Justin Smith and Al Durham, have had their times in and out of the lineup. Very good play for a while and not unexpected. Some downtime as freshmen. Is there still time for these guys to figure out a more significant role? Because Al seems to me like he's kind of lost in the wash right now. Justin, he seems even keel enough to know when he gets in the game, he's out there to be athletic and potentially score the ball. And he doesn't seem like he's as lost maybe as he was at the beginning or towards the beginning of the season. But Al right now, you know, he doesn't seem like he's in the right rotation, like he's in the right mindset all the time. That's probably unfair, but I just don't see him contributing in the same way.
Not like he did early. I mean, there was one early he didn't make a turnover for weeks and weeks, games and games. He is not nearly the shooter that I thought he was coming out of high school. Right now he's losing minutes to Devontae Green, and then – who comes off the bench first, Josh Newkirk or Al? So at this point, it seems like we've got, again, we're at a point where we have four actual guards. I mean, you see, you know, a couple that play the point. Durham can play the point. Johnson can play the point. They all four can. Mm-hmm. And then your wings are your other players, like Mick Roberts and Smith. I think they can. I like Justin Smith's going to be fine. Right now, he needs a little more strength, but his body build will, you know, you put 10 to 15 pounds of muscle on him, and he's going to be hard to handle.
Yeah.
He can still shoot from the outside. I think Durham's a decent defender for sure. I agree with you. You watch him play, and he doesn't have that confidence. I mean, right now he's kind of feeling his way around, which at this time of the year I'd rather have had him feeling his way around early, and
right
now the blinders are off and he's, oh, I get this.
Mm-hmm.
Especially playing in the Big Ten, and I don't care whether the Big Ten's up, down, there's enough competition, there's enough scouting, these guys all know each other, and this is a tough league. Don't count whoever gets in the tournament out. We still have three teams that could go to the Final Four. I mean, three capable teams. So we're playing against good competition, and it may not be what it was three or four years ago, but still a tough league. So, these guys are both – I think Archie's going to need them both, unless somebody has riding an awfully hot hand and not in any foul trouble, will these guys not be in the ballgame. I mean, somebody's going to have to be having two career games – to keep these guys completely out.
Freddie McSwain has played 20 minutes plus in the last four games. Three of those are starts. He has 29 points and 38 rebounds. And again, 16 rebounds rather, and 8 points at home against Michigan State, one of the best rebounding teams in the nation. Now, Indiana couldn't hit the broadside of a barn that night, so there were a lot of rebounds to be had, but they dominated the glass, and part of that reason was Freddie McSwain. So, there's a lot, I think, to like here of the recent play. My caution to folks is still this. Lots of teams seem to play better at home against top competition. So Purdue and Michigan State, I think there was a lot to take from that that was good. But again, you see a lot of teams play well at home against top competition. The Hoosiers then took care of business on the road at Rutgers, a team who, oh, by the way, stinks, and was coming off their best effort of the year potentially, you know, at home against Purdue and coming up short. So they were clearly looking dead, the same way we supposedly looked dead at Ohio State. And Minnesota just absolutely is falling apart right now. Injuries, you know, stuff going on up there. They had to kick a guy off the team earlier this year. They are falling apart. The good news with that is that even though your last two results have come against two of the worst teams in the Big Ten, you don't have a killer schedule down the stretch.
No.
You do have two games against very good teams. Very good teams. In Ohio State at home to close the season. No question. But again, that's a game I think we all think at home we can win. Not a given, but we can win it.
Oh, yeah.
And at Nebraska. And not that either one is easy, but I think Nebraska, I think the trip out there is harder than coming home in Ohio State because we know how Assembly Hall is and how everybody plays at home. But you've got Illinois and you've got Iowa. But you also have to bring it every night. And that's what scares me a little bit is Illinois. I mean, does Illinois come in tonight down because of their loss at home to Penn State? Or are they ready to turn things around? And do the Hoosiers, are they ready to take care of business? Because to me, this team is still, you know, they're 7-7, and they are. They're a 7-7 team. They're not great by any stretch. They're not horrendous. But, it just strikes me as though they're an up and down a bit. And they play the bad teams at home pretty well. How hungry is Illinois seems to me to be part of the equation here.
Yeah, well, I think the answer is on the bench. And Archie Miller will have them ready. I mean, he's got them. Or tried to get them focused, tried to tell them what's ahead, tried to tell them what we're going to do to win this game. You know, there's always, I don't care what people say, when you're a kid that somebody beat you earlier that you were ahead of them most of the ball game, there's a retaliation factor. Mm-hmm. We want to get that. We want to get that game back. They're not coming in here and beating us here. I mean, so I'm confident that tonight, where it may be a little ugly at times because of who we're playing, I'm confident we're going to win. And there may be stretches where it's unbearable to watch just because Illinois is so helter-skelter. But, yeah. I think we'll be ready. I just think right now these guys are at a – I'm going to give the coach the credit that it's – they better be ready. And the ones that aren't, they'll find themselves over on the vinyl chairs very quickly because he's not – he wants to win. He wants to win. Archie probably has told him, as far as he's concerned, we're winning the last four games going into the tournament. And you guys better be ready to come with me because that's what I'm planning on doing. We'll see.
If you take the logical side of the schedule right now, 2-2, just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can think differently, certainly. But 2-2 down the stretch. Because, look, going to Iowa, they're circling you on their calendar, too. 2-2 makes them 16-14. A loss the first day in the Big Ten tournament makes them 16-15. You said postseason.
Well, it's NIT.
I mean, everybody wants Indiana in their postseason tournament if it's there. But you know, we almost turned down a home game last year in the NIT. We would have turned down a CBI or whatever else was left after that.
No, heck with a CBI. We're never going there. We better never go there.
Do Hoosier fans want to see IU in the NIT again?
Yeah, they would. I mean, I would. I'd rather see them there than nothing.
Well, I think they can use all the work they can get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can bet your ass that Fred Glass is not going to let a you're not going to let a home game get away from him again. He kind of screwed the pooch on that one, so he's not going to let that happen. And I think Archie wants to play. I mean, it's just, hey, okay. We're not going to the bit. We got a chance to play. And I'm playing. You guys are going to play, and we're going to win. Let's go win this thing.
So give us your prediction to the end of the season, because you said postseason. So, I mean, that could be an IT. I get that.
No, it's exactly.
So, as you see things now.
Yeah, I think we win tonight. I think Iowa will be a very tough game. I think we get one of the two. Nebraska's playing great right now. Yeah, they're 20-8. They're still – people are talking about the Big Ten only getting 14.
That's ridiculous.
And Nebraska being 5 and first four out or maybe a play-in game at 11 or 12. I mean, that's a little – you know, maybe it's disrespectful, but I looked at Nebraska's schedule. It stinks.
Yeah, it's not very good.
I mean, they didn't – they're got 20 wins for a reason.
Their best – if I remember correctly, their best out-of-conference win is a loss at home to Kansas.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
So – but they're gettable because, you know, they're 11-4 though in the Big Ten and they're playing well, but that's a game that I think we could get. I'm hoping to get 3 out of 4 on this.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you know, the thing that gets me is I just really think in the last game at home against Ohio State, I do think we're going to win. I've thought that since they beat us over there. Again, that's just that's the payback factor. You got Assembly Hall, huge game. So we'll see how it goes. I would like to think I'm going to be very optimistic because of the way they're playing right now and say they get 3 out of 4.
And Ohio State, just I mean, for the record here, they are in first place in the Big Ten with only one loss. They won at Purdue after coming back from a big deficit there.
Yeah.
So, it's all plaudits to them, but their schedule has not been difficult up till now.
No.
But their last four games, three are on the road, at Penn State, at Michigan, at Indiana, surrounded around a home game against Rutgers. So, I mean, some of their toughest trips are in the next three or four games here.
Coming up. I still think it's smoke and mirrors, but I gotta admit they're fun to watch, and they're
play hard.
They got a couple of guys that just haven't had any success while they've been there, and they're cashing in. And Andrew Dockich is playing great coming off the bench, giving them good minutes, and good for Musa Jallo in the last game that he actually hit three threes, had actually 13 minutes, which is his high mark in a long time. So I was proud of him. He did a good job of helping him get back in that ball game.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Programming notes for you. We've got our Olympics recap show every night, 10 o'clock. That's 10 to midnight, so they're playing games for you and athletes, and you're actually getting some of the coverage there on our Olympics show. Again, 10 o'clock every night throughout the entire Olympics. Friday night, we turn it over to high school basketball as normal. Columbus North is coming to town to face North at the Cougar Den. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk, and 7:30 is tip-off Friday night. And Saturday, we got a pair of college basketball games. Syracuse is at Miami to start it off. That's an 11:45 pregame for a noon tip, and it'll take you right into Alabama at Kentucky. And only just over a week away from Romeo coming back to town, face the North Cougars.
That's right.
He's going to do it all by himself that night, right?
He better not. It might be a little harder than what it should be.
We should also note for local basketball fans, it is Sunday. Hopefully you know the time, but it is Sunday for the draw reveal, and we think it's 5 o'clock.
We think it's 5 o'clock.
For the draw reveal, so North, South, Edgewood, we'll all find out what they're doing. We'll make decisions on what we're doing broadcast-wise, but that's a Tuesday potentially for any of those teams, and then a potential Friday and a potential Saturday, just depending on how everybody does. And certainly you'd look at South and Edgewood right now as very well poised to make some waves in their sectionals. North struggling a bit, but we're going to see them down the stretch. No question they have their good nights. Big Ten underway right now is Michigan hosting Iowa. Michigan has a slight lead in that. Let's turn it over up the road a bit, pretend there's no construction so we can get there just as quickly in this last segment, and talk about the Pacers, because I know you follow the Pacers very closely. A more enjoyable team since all the moves that they had to make. I'm not sure that they got full value for the star that is Paul George, but that's the cool thing to say, is that they ripped off Oklahoma City by getting Victor Oladipo and Sabonis. Certainly, they've got something very valuable in both of those players. You got a bench guy in Sabonis, who's a big guy who can shoot, who who's tough inside, and you've got Vic, who has turned himself into an all-star. Under Russell Westbrook, he was kind of their eighth option or whatever the heck he was there. He just wasn't blossoming there. But the minute he got here with the Pacers, he has taken over that team. He has taken over that town and plays his butt off every night and has been rewarded properly already in just half a season with an all-star game.
Yeah, and well-deserved. I mean, and taking it that he's a IU grad, IU player, that helps. His personality is infectious.
Yeah.
He's let it know in no uncertain terms that he enjoys being here. I mean, I remember the first time he hit a three to win a game, which, by the way, Paul George never did. And he's over on the corner yelling it, "This is my town." Well, between the two of them, and one thing a lot of people don't know is year before last when Oklahoma City drafted Sabonis, or however that went, the head of Pacer College Scouting begged the Pacers to trade up and get Sabonis, that he thought he was exactly what that team needed. A bruiser down low that wasn't afraid to go mix it up, had good touch around the basket, and just begged him, and it didn't happen. But now that we've got the two of them, they both seem to like playing there. I mean, they're in sixth place in the East.
They'd be in fifth, by the way, right now by half a game over Oklahoma City if they were in
yes,
the West.
Yes, exactly. The Bucks,
which hasn't been the case with the East the last couple of years.
No, never. The Bucks and the Wizards are a half game in front of them. CBS NBA power rankings this week have the Pacers fifth in the whole league.
I'm not sure I buy that.
That might be a little. But it's just how they've played. They beat the Cavs 3 out of 4 times. It's just it's great to watch. I'm they're 7 games over .500, and they still blew double digit leads in 2 games. I remember they should at least have won 2 to 3 more games. But you got a bunch of guys with chips on their shoulders that no longer have a complaining superstar around that. Never seemed to be happy about his role no matter what. I'd liked it if they'd have worked out a deal and he stayed. He's obviously a talent, but I tell you what, you talk about a true team and you do have a leader. Everybody thought it might be Miles Turner. Miles Turner's going to be all right.
Let me ask you that, and I don't want to turn this into a negative because they are playing really well for the group that they have out there, and they've done a good job rebuilding this team around what they do have and what they got out of that trade. Miles Turner has not been the star. I mean, everybody said we're going to build this team around Miles Turner, and Miles is going to be your star, and he's going to be the reason everybody wants to be here. He's only 21 years old. I get that. But when do you look at Miles at taking that next step? Because if Miles becomes what people think he can be, and you stick him next to Victor Oladipo, you're talking about an awfully, awfully powerful team.
Yeah, he's still got a couple more years on his rookie contract, so it's cheap right now.
Yeah.
You let him develop. He has to do some things. But luckily, Victor Oladipo was ready to come in and be the man when he got here. And that's good for Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Because also Vic's, been in the league 4 years now. And that he's got an extra year. This is third year for Miles Turner. So don't get rid of him yet. I mean, because right now he's on the cheap. He's extremely athletic. Mm-hmm. He does a great job of protecting the rim. I just like to see him occasionally get his tail underneath the basket, form a jump hook,
and
some up and under moves, do something.
I didn't say you're rid of him. I'm just asking when.
Oh, there's people
when
in
Indianapolis. He's going to take that next step.
Oh, there's people that want to trade him. They wanted to trade him at the deadline and let him mature. He's 21.
Darren Collison out with a knee injury for a few weeks.
That's going to kill him.
But without him, they went to Boston.
I know.
And by the way, Boston lost back-to-back home games, Pacers and Cavs, the retooled Cavs.
Darren Collison is a huge, also a piece we picked up this year.
Yep.
He may be the second best player on his team right now.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Pacers have one more game tonight, 7:30 at Brooklyn, and then it is the All-Star Weekend. Congratulations to former Hoosier Victor Oladipo gets to participate all weekend long, as does Eric Gordon. We got to take off, folks. You've been in the zone.